Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Good morning to you. Wait a minute. Wait for it. Happy November. What? No. I swear I'm not making it up. My phone actually says one. The calendar is back to one. So we survived Halloween. And for some people, it's more traumatic and more adventurous than others. We are now into November through week eight in the NFL, but not yet through three games in the World Series. World Series and Major League Baseball, this could not be breaking worse for them right now. It seems as though everything that could possibly go wrong with baseball and its championship series has, except for the games. When they play the games, they are very compelling and very entertaining. Why am I yelling to start November? I just think it's unfortunate that baseball goes nearly a week without playoff games. All the momentum completely dies. As sports fans, you know us, we turn our attention to others' things very quickly. We get attracted by the shiny, bright objects, typically football. Then just as they're about to fill that void post-football on Monday, they're about to, see, my days all blend together. They're about to fill that void. Boom. Cancellation. So that's unfortunate. Now, it helps that they've got Tuesday and Wednesday without football. So they've got the primetime stage to themselves for games 3 and 4. But on the back end, this becomes a major problem. We know there will be a game 5, and it's going on Thursday night against football. But it's worse. It's the Eagles and the Texans. So in their own markets, there's going to be cannibalism. Not to mention, the Eagles have a lot of interest right now around the country as the only undefeated team. And so this is their opportunity on a short week to move to 8-0. So tons of buzz around them. And I fear that it takes away a lot of the interest in game 5 of the World Series. But then you think about what happens with if there's a game 7 and the fact that it would be on a Sunday night. And rut-row. So this couldn't line up worse for Major League Baseball. And Rob Manfred knows it. The fact that he was even talking about going against football in his press conference on Monday indicates that certainly he understands the challenge here. So it's not breaking well for baseball, but what could save it? Really good games the rest of the way. I just think it might be better for everybody involved if it ended in game 6. I don't know who wins. I know we're tied 1-1, but if it ends in a game 6, they've got Saturday night where they're sharing with college football, but not with the NFL, the big bad. Such a bully. The NFL's such a bully. Why are you such a bully? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's one analogy that I use. The other analogy that I use about the NFL is that it's a jealous lover. And when we start to pay too much attention to any other sport, very green with envy. And so all of a sudden there's some big storyline. I don't believe the NFL is rigged, but I do think the NFL pays attention to what else is happening on the sports calendar. So watch. Sunday will have some crazy storylines and headlines that we never saw coming if Major League Baseball goes to a game 7. It's just going to happen. Just trust me. It's going to happen. And how about today is the NFL trade deadline. Today's the deadline. So will there be some crazy massive trade that goes down that takes the attention away from game 3 of the World Series? What are the chances? What are the chances of that, Producer Jay?
Honestly, I would say probably like higher than 60. That's where I'm going. Right? Because any trade that happens is going to be a big deal. And if there's a trade that's even remotely impactful in the league, we're going to be talking about that more than the game, I would imagine.
Ooh, it's probably not going to be snow for it. Well, certainly not going to impact them in Houston. But generally in November in the Northeast, there is a chance of snow. Except I heard the weather forecast the last couple of days. And while we're not in Philadelphia, we're a couple of hours north into the east. It's supposed to be very mild the next week. So at least there's that. There could be rain, though. I can't promise you there won't be another rain out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're all kinds of goofy, and by we, I mean me, because it's November, and there's just a lot to process. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Mixing in a little basketball on this edition of the show. This hour, we will talk about the latest with Michigan and Michigan State and the fracas that took place in the tunnel. Both head coaches speaking on Monday. So we'll make sure that you know the latest there as well. But we wrapped up week 8 in the NFL with the Battle of Ohio in Cleveland. And I gotta say, this is definitely what the doctor seems, I wanted to come up with some like Halloween analogy. Let's see. This is definitely what the mad scientist drew up in his lab. Some crazy monster for the Browns that would scare the Bengals. And it certainly worked. It was definitely a house of horrors at the dog pound on Monday night. Not only do the Browns have now a 5-game winning streak against the Bengals, which is interesting in and of itself, considering that the Bengals won the division and went to the Super Bowl as the AFC rep last year, but also because of the way these two teams have been playing. So we have this clash on Monday night. The NFL specifically chose these two teams because they both have orange as a primary color. I am sure of it. Orange on Halloween. There was orange everywhere. This Battle of Ohio seemed like two teams going in opposite directions. The Bengals were throwing the ball with so much success. I know they lost Jamar Chase, but they've got other guys who can catch the football. They do. And they've been chucking and ducking up and down the field. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, they've been working in other guys as well in their passing game. Joe Mixon's been running the ball successfully. Samaje Perine's been another option. I mean, this is a team that's been clicking on all cylinders when it comes to their offense. Their offensive line has been playing better, protecting their quarterback. But we didn't see any of that because from the very first drive, the advantage, the aggressiveness, the tough, physical, blue-collar, get-down-and-dirty approach of the Browns' defense was evident.
In the shotgun, Burrow takes it, turns, whips it left, and it's tipped and picked off! Intercepted down the sideline, the Browns get it! Down the left sideline, 35, it's A.J. Green! He's to the 40, 35, 30, 25, down to the 20-yard line! On a tip drill, A.J. Green got it!
The first, you know, tip pass leading to an interception, you know, felt like everyone's like, damn, it's the bank's open. Everybody
Damn.
Grabbed something. So everybody was rushing to get to the passer and trying to make a big play. And you know, Taki Taki was flying around making big plays all over the field. And you got a lot of guys who were just, you know, playing, you know, lights out. And it was just beautiful to see.
That's Myles Garrett, who not only tipped the ball that was intercepted by A.J. Green. Again, the end of what was a relatively long drive by the Bengals. Probably one of their longest of the game, actually. Jim Donovan on Browns Radio. You also have Garrett with a sack and a half. And he was wreaking havoc with the offensive line. And then you've got Taki Taki, and Garrett mentions him, who has 13 tackles and a sack of his own. When the dust settles, and that was just the beginning, there was a second takeaway in the first half, a sack and a fumble by Joe Burrow. When the dust settles on the first half, two takeaways, only 100 yards allowed to the Bengals, no points. So the Browns' defense pitches a shutout in the first half. And while the Browns' offense is finding its rhythm and its footing, the defense is doing all the work and saying, you know what, we got you. I've been waiting to see this Browns' defense on a consistent basis from week to week. In fact, one of the reasons why I picked the Browns in the survivor pool in week number two, in which we were eliminated, is because I believed in the defense. This defense, even with pieces missing, was near perfect in the first half. And the formula for the Browns to use their defense to make life super uncomfortable for any opposing team, in this case, it happens to be an AFC North opponent, and then to keep the ball away from them as much as possible. Nick Chubb, he's the key to that. Kareem Hunt, the key to that. The offensive line, clearing holes for those two, massive. I said this last week, it's on Twitter, you can go and fact check me if you want. The Browns should never be running the ball fewer than 30 times with Chubb and Hunt. I don't know why you go away from that. Why try to change your identity when you're so good at running the ball? Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. You just go back to those two. As Myles Garrett said, the bank is open. The Bengals couldn't stop it. They couldn't slow it down. It's like the Titans and Derrick Henry. Who cares if everybody in the building knows you're going to run the ball? Run it anyway.
Brissett goes out wide right. Chubb's going to take a direct snap, takes it, runs right, cuts left. He goes in, touchdown! What a play! A direct snap to Nick Chubb with Brissett flanking out wide to the right. Chubb with a step right, came back left, dropped those shoulders and went in.
That's Jim Donovan again on Browns Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As much as you could look at the first half and recognize that the Bengals offense just didn't have any kind of rhythm, there's always the potential for the big plays, right? I mean, this is still the Bengals. They've got some great weapons. And so there were moments there early in the second half where I was wondering, okay, this has got to be the drive. We're going to see it here. But you know what the Browns did? They just didn't give the ball to the Bengals. And again, this is brilliantly executed on the field. You know who you are. You're a run-first team. You're a ball-control team. Control the ball, you control the game. And that's exactly what they did in the third quarter. Here's how it went. An opening drive in the third quarter, 6 minutes long. They score a touchdown. A three and out forced by the Cleveland defense. The ball goes right back to the Browns offense. So what does that do? It puts the Bengals D on the field again after, what, two or three breaths? A couple of seconds on the sidelines? They're already gassed. They just had to play defense for six straight minutes all the way down the field. It was perfect. Perfect. There's no such thing as perfect, right? Christian McCaffrey told us that. But for the Browns, this couldn't have gone any better. You hold the Bengals scoreless in the first half. You put 11 points on the board. And then in the third quarter, you come out with a ton of momentum. You force a six-minute drive down their throats, then a three and out, and then you're right back on the field. And while this wasn't the end of the game, to me, this felt like the beginning of the end for the Bengals.
Brissett in the gun, arms at his side. He's got three wide, gets the snap, felt high, looks to the left, arching spiral in the end zone, over the shoulder, catch in the back corner. It is caught. It is a touchdown! Amari Cooper with the grab on the pylon back near side corner.
That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. So the Cooper touchdown caps their second drive there in the second half. And the time of possession is so whacked. You almost can't believe it when you look at it. But again, this is a credit to the Browns and their ability to run the ball. They score on their first three possessions of the second half. And of course, the third one drags into the fourth quarter. But around those first two drives in the third quarter, a three and out. So what? 90 seconds the Bengals had the ball in the third quarter. 90 seconds. Do you know how Joe Burrow is not dangerous? When he's standing on the sidelines for all but 90 seconds of a quarter. Phenomenal. I mean, I was really impressed. But this is who the Browns are. Can they be this way week in and week out? Well, why not? The potential is there. And I think my formula so far, tried and true. I know I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek here. It's not rocket science. Nick Chubb carries the ball 23 times. Kareem Hunt, 11 times. Together, that is 34 carries. Okay, that meets my formula. 143 yards between them with the two touchdowns because Nick Chubb scored again early in the fourth quarter. Okay, Kevin Stefanski, four-game losing skid in the rearview mirror.
We played great football tonight, great defense tonight. Rushing coverage was really good. But we just got to keep stacking them. We just got to, you know, like anything, offense, defense, special teams, we got to give these guys a plan. They can go execute a high level, play fast, those type of things. I thought that was on display tonight.
We understood the ramifications of this game and what we needed to do and what this meant for us. So, extremely proud of the guys in the locker room. The coaches did a really good job of preparing and really focusing in on the task at hand.
Ultimately, the Cleveland defense finishes with 5 sacks, 7 QB hits. They have the 2 takeaways. They allow a couple of touchdowns late, but nothing to be scared about. 13 points in the fourth quarter when the game is relatively done. That gives the Bengals 0 momentum. Now, there are some questions around this team, but we're going to save those because into my studio walks Beefcake himself. I'm still laughing. We're still playing. Wait, hold on. Do you have your headphone in? Can you plug in? Okay, so Boomer Esiason just walked into our studio. Earlier we were playing this drop, Boomer. Are you ready? Go ahead. Jay, tell me when you have it. So this is after they showed Boomer in his undies on national TV. Were you a little nervous about them showing your underwear commercial?
Of course not, Amy. Listen, that goes back 40 years.
Okay, wait. This is our favorite new drop, Boomer.
I was all about the Beefcake, boys. I wasn't about the acting.
Exactly right.
So, you killed it last night.
Well, I
you
appreciate
were so
that.
Much
Thank
fun.
You. No, those guys are fun. You know,
they are.
They're hilarious. Now, I have criticized that broadcast because it's too distracting. You know, and
they brought that up. They knew it.
Yeah, of course they did. Eli knows everything I say around here. Believe me. You know, so if I've been on the radio for 15 years in here in New York, and when I started in 2007. Eli and Tom Coughlin were literally inches from getting thrown
was
out of here.
Was that when you started? Like right
yes.
about the time that they
yes.
were on the chopping block?
Right, and I worked with Craig Carton at the time for 10 years from 2007 to 2017. And that fall, we had hit the number one spot in radio in New York. And I'll never forget arguing for Eli. He's only been here for 3 years. Give him some time. You know, nobody wants to give anybody any time around here. Zach Wilson's finding out. But I said to Craig, I said, I bet you they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And sure enough, they won in that unbelievable run. And they beat the Patriots in their first Super Bowl in 2007. And my bet with Craig Carton was that if they did get to the Super Bowl, he had to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge in a Speedo.
Cold.
And
so
then
cold.
Right after that, he had a hemorrhoidectomy.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, they remove your hemorrhoids, and it's not fun for anybody.
You dropped that on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I know that, but I remember Craig calling me after he had the hemorrhoidectomy and before we went to Arizona to go cover the Super Bowl, and he was just moaning in pain. Oh, oh. You know, and he just couldn't go to the bathroom.
How could Eli not send you a thank you note? I kind of feel like that was...
all anybody hears is the negative, or if you're around here, if you do say something negative about anybody, it's usually one of their friends or family members that says, did you hear what Boomer said? Did you hear what Greg said? Did you hear what Craig said? You know, it's just nonstop. You know this business. It's
yes,
crazy.
I do.
It was fun.
But things I learned about you that I didn't know. First of all, I remember you playing football.
You were one of my favorites when you were
an NFL MVP. My family loves you. They've got the Boomer Esiason t-shirts now. Somehow I never saw the commercial. Were those your actual dogs, by the way?
Yes. Yes. So I had two Newfoundlands when I was
Amazing.
Playing in Cincinnati. Hey, look, I did about 30 different commercials. For, not only for Hanes and
your
the underwear.
Undies?
No, not all my undies. Man, I was Goldilocks and the Three Bears with three of the Chicago Bears in a Diet Coke commercial. I did Doritos commercial. I mean, I did a lot of things back in the day.
You were Peyton before Peyton was Peyton.
I was, that's what I was trying to tell him last night, but it was a little disjointed. You know why? I figured out why it was so disjointed. There's about a half second delay between the guest and Eli and Peyton. So they're hooked right into each other.
Right.
Eli's in Jersey. Peyton's out in Denver. They have a total setup like they are
do.
In the studio.
It's
I mean, it's
sweet.
Sick. It is sick. And then you, as the guest, have literally an iPad for a monitor to see what's going on. So you got the three of you, and then the other half is the game. And I'm like, I didn't even see the game.
That's the part that's hard. It's really hard. And I also had no idea that you owned or co-owned a nightclub called La Boom.
Right.
Was that for you?
No. Well, so here's the deal. So
La Boom.
Me, Chris Collinsworth, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench were partners with a guy by the name of Jeff Ruby, who is still out there to this day, and I think has 8 or 9 restaurants bearing his name, Jeff Ruby Steakhouse. He's got one in Nashville, Lexington, Louisville, Cincinnati, I believe Columbus. I mean, he's a great restaurateur, the best restaurant I've ever been to. And we did this partnership with him called The Waterfront. And in The Waterfront, there was the nightclub upstairs called La Boom. And all the incoming athletes that would play the Reds or that would play, I think it was the Cincinnati Stingers, minor league hockey, they would all come in. They'd all hang out at that nightclub. It was crazy.
But it had nothing to do with your name?
I think it did and it didn't. Jeff Ruby is such a marketer and such a promoter it probably did. But in 87, we were on strike.
Right.
And I was probably the most hated man in Cincinnati at the time. And next year was the MVP year. So I've lived from the depths of hell to the gates of heaven, man. It was unbelievable in less than a year. But a couple of my teammates got in a fight with the crew that was doing the Fresh Horses movie with Molly Ringwald in Cincinnati in our bar, in our nightclub, right? So my neighbor next door said, "Did you see the Cincinnati Inquirer this morning?" I'm like, "No, I didn't. What's going on?" He goes, "The Bengals are banned from La Boom and the Waterfront." I'm like, "What?" So I go get the paper because we used to have the paper delivered. There was no internet, of course. I open up the paper. There it is. And my teammates are basically banned. So I call Chris Collinsworth, who's my partner. I said, "Chris, did Jeff Ruby just totally shut us, ban us out of our own restaurant? Because if he did, I'm taking my cash out." So he goes, "No, Boom, I don't think you and I are banned. I just think the rest of the team is banned." I said, "That's not cool."
Things I didn't know about Boomer Esiason. It's amazing. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
You were on there for a long time.
It didn't feel that long to me, and there was a lot of stoppages of plays, a couple turnovers. The Bengals played terrible last night.
I love all the Boomer highlights. And Peyton gave you a compliment. He said you were the best RPO quarterback he's ever seen.
Yeah, well, we didn't really run RPOs. It was a lot of play action and run action passes, and I tried.
Manning gave you a compliment.
Well, I gave him a compliment, many compliments over my time covering him. And I think I covered like 50 of his games. He was always on Monday Night Football. He was always in the playoffs, and I always had them either. You were on Westwood One, either Monday night or some Thursday night games. And, of course, all those playoff games he was in.
It was good stuff.
I laughed. I had a good time.
I really enjoyed it. Yes. And you, obviously, you had the whole, not only did you have the camera and your sound was good, you looked so good. And those two, Eli had some crazy mask on. And
he had his Chad Powers mask on.
Peyton wears makeup, but you can't tell. So you classed up the joint.
It was all good, man. I had a good time with those guys. They're a lot of fun. And by the way, right after I was done,
yes,
Archie texted me and goes, you got a 5-star performance. So I said, that's all I care about. Your sons are hilarious. You're the man.
I actually told our audience that I was going to have to pretend like I didn't see your underwear commercial because I'm like, I think I might blush. That's an HR violation. I can't see Boomer's underwear commercial.
No. Again, believe me, things have changed quite a bit drastically.
You killed it. That was so good.
I appreciate it. I mean, I came in here this morning to discuss this with you because you sent me a very nice text last night, and I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you're my favorite part of Peyton and Eli last night.
Well, thanks, man. The Kelsey brothers were on. They were great. I love those two guys, man. I wish those are the types of teammates you want. You want one as a center and you want one as a tight end.
Oh, yeah, they're hysterical.
And the best teammates of all are the centers and the tight ends because they're who they are. They're real people. And the tight end gets to catch some passes. He has to make some blocks. Mm-hmm. He's always the guy that, is in between the wide receiver room and the offensive line room. So he's got the real pulse and the temperature of the entire team. So you got to nuzzle up to those guys. You got to get to know those guys because they're the ones that always will have your back.
Mm. Okay, before you go.
Yeah.
When are you going to be in the Bengals Ring of Honor?
I don't know.
It's got to be soon.
But you have to remember, so the Bengals got started late on this process.
They did. Last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, we put in Kenny Anderson, Paul Brown, Anthony Munoz, and Kenny Riley. Four great guys, the Bengals, really maybe the founder of football, and Paul Brown. I mean, you go all the way back to what he had done and the impact of football. And then last year, another guy, Isaac Curtis and Willie Anderson. I mean, come on. And they're only doing 2 a year. It's going to take a while for the rest of us to get in. But eventually we'll get there.
That'll be
sooner
fun.
Or later. But I'm just glad they're doing it because, I've often ribbed the Bengals for about the last 20 years for not having any sort of reflection back to their history. Because they do have a good history.
Yeah.
And, they run their team very similar to that of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the difference between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bengals really over the last 20 years has been Ben Roethlisberger. That has been the biggest difference. You know, Coach Cowher, of course, and Coach Tomlin, but when you have the quarterback who's the Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, that's the difference maker. So I think the Bengals are starting to enter into that territory with their own quarterback. But, and hopefully they're going to go on a nice 15-year run here with Joe Burrow.
You got to be careful what you say because all of it can come back to the Monday night Mannings.
Yeah, you never know. They do their research. There's no question
they
about
do.
That.
It's really impressive.
I mean, they even found a quote that I compared Peyton Manning to Bartolo Colon.
That was the best part. The screenshot of Bartolo Colon next to Peyton Manning.
I tried to get them to do a 40-yard dash between the two of them. And, you know, the Mets PR staff wasn't very helpful at the time. And the Broncos were so focused on Super Bowl 50 that it was. And all I was saying was, like, as a Met fan, we love Bartolo Colon. And he, like, lost his fastball.
It wasn't about the fact that he's a little overweight.
It's right now. And Peyton had lost his fastball because he had four neck surgeries.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember Von Miller telling me at the Super Bowl down in Atlanta a few years ago, I said, so what was it like when Peyton came back? He goes, look, man, it didn't matter if he completed a pass. We just needed to have our leader back on the field.
Yeah, that was
that
him.
Was how profound his presence was for the Broncos. And that's why they beat Cam Newton and the Panthers that year, because the Panthers and Cam Newton were playing great that year.
They were 15-1.
And Von Miller and that defense stifled them in that Super Bowl. And Peyton didn't really do much in that game.
Yeah, they had a touchdown early, didn't they?
Yeah, but you know it was all about sacking and getting all over Cam Newton. You remember the fumble and Cam didn't go after it?
Yes.
Oh,
I remember. All right, I was a nervous wreck. Love the Omahas last night. You dropped a couple Omahas.
Yeah, like, you know, I did all that stuff.
You did. You
know,
were great.
I just had to make sure Peyton knew that. That's all.
I'm going to call an audible out of that. I'm going to call an Omaha right out of that.
Yeah, the other thing I was trying to get to Peyton, I was saying, so Peyton was intense playing the Browns. You know, those defensive backs, Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield, would just grab onto our wide receivers. Peyton would have wind his way all the way to the sideline.
Oh, yeah, no, we've got all kinds of boomer drops this morning.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. So I tried.
Yes, no, you did fantastic.
Thanks, Amy. I appreciate the text last night.
It was great. Thanks for popping in.
See ya.
Boomer Esiason, he crushed it. If you haven't seen it, the Monday Night Mannings, they replay it on NFL Network, so it's good stuff. And good. Now I don't have to bring up the underwear. Now it's just out there, right? Like, we don't have to talk about it again, Jay. It's just
that was it. Taken care
that
of.
That was it. It's done.
That's it.
No one needs to call HR. All right. So when Boomer walks in, you just kind of blow through your brakes. Sorry about that, Jay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
On second down, Jacoby waits and takes and...
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Virtua Health is here. Here for women at every stage of life. From young adulthood to living longer and stronger, Virtua Health is by your side with care for your unique needs. To remind you that age is just a number when you're living your best life. Learn more at virtua.org/women. Virtua Health. Here for good.
gives it. Chubb darts left. He's through to the five and going in. Touchdown! Nick Chubb! And he may have blown this thing wide open.
This isn't the type of team we are. You know, it's a 17-game season, and this is one game that we weren't at our best today in any phase. And I'm confident that's not who we are, that we can make the corrections and flush this one away quickly, turn our attention to Carolina on a six-day week, and have a great opportunity to get this out of our system real quick and play well next Sunday.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, hey, here we are. Our show got hijacked for a second there, but it's totally worth it to have Boomer pop into the studio. And now no one has to bring up the underwear. Jim Donovan on Browns radio, the second Nick Chubb touchdown early in the second quarter. He had over 100 yards, and that was absolutely the nail in the coffin. But really, this game was out of hand and out of reach for the Bengals before that. And you hear the voice of one Zach Taylor who says, this is not who we are. This is not what to expect moving forward. Now, Joe Burrow, he was asked about Ja'Marr Chase, the fact that they don't have Ja'Marr, his security blanket, his deep threat, the guy that he's so comfortable with. Think Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's a great example. The more these guys play together, of course, having played together in college. So Burrow goes 25 of 35, but only 232 yards. He had a couple touchdowns. They were both late when it really didn't matter. He threw the interception on the very first drive of the game.
First drive, we drive right down there, and you know, Miles makes a great play on an RPO and gets his hands up, knocks it down, and ends up falling right into him. And so that was really the start of a long day for us.
The two turnovers, you know, if you're looking to assess blame, that's a difficult thing to do because one of them is just a blocked defensive end who got his hand up and made a good play. And the other one is as you're going to throw to what appeared to be an open guy, you know, he got his hand hit. So that's tough because both those drives took points off the board and maybe some early momentum. And, so then you're talking about slow starts and all that stuff, when in reality we had two good drives there, and they just made plays.
Mm. So right now in the AFC North, Ravens stand alone in first place at 5-3. Bengals fall back to 500. The Browns end their losing skid. They're at 3-5. That leaves the Steelers bringing up the rear. All right, Brad Heller is here in studio. Before we get to your update, because we just had Boomer pop in, and I mean, I was a little uncomfortable talking about Boomer's underwear, but whatever. Like, he said it was 40
whatever.
Years ago, so not to worry about it. I'm like,
whatever.
All right, no one's calling HR. But this is the exchange with Peyton and Eli on Monday night when they were showing Boomer's commercial in his undies.
Boomer, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Peyton likes to endorse and do a lot of commercials. And I think he also is thinking about rating other players when they're in a commercial and how well they do. Back in the day, you did some commercials for Hanes. How would you, was this underrated acting right here? What do you think?
I was all about the beefcake, boys. I wasn't about the acting. Sorry about that. Me and my Newfoundlands there in my my underwear commercial. Have you guys ever done an underwear commercial?
Terrible. Never been asked. Never been asked. I think I would audible out. I think I would Omaha out of that one if they asked me for sure.
Oh, yeah, you would be. Omaha, yes.
Omaha, real fast.
Such good stuff. So for those of you who didn't see it or hear it, I mean, Boomer's commercial is out there. He's lounging on a couch, for heaven's sakes, and the dogs come up and jump on him. And then when he's done with hanging out with the dogs, then he rolls over and his butt is pointing right at the camera and his tiny whiteies. So I can't imagine why Peyton would want to audible out of that.
The fact that he hasn't been asked, you know, for an underwear commercial, but hey, you never know. I mean, you know, Peyton's got this second career, so maybe he's got a third
it's
one
true.
Coming down the line.
You never know what you might have to do if you're short for funds, huh? Short on cash, I guess you might have to do an underwear commercial. Yeah, Boomer just told us he did over 40 different commercials and endorsements, so he was kind of Peyton before Peyton was doing all of this stuff.
I'm glad Boomer got on there. It was only a matter of time, yeah. I felt like, before he, you know, became one of their guests, because they have such great guests
they
every
do.
Week.
So and he was really funny. And so then Brady comes in the studio and he's like, oh, he had to name drop. What, as if Peyton and Eli having him on wasn't enough. He said, once I got off the broadcast, Archie texted me right away.
Excuse us.
I know, exactly. I tried not to roll my eyes at him. Yeah. That's Boomer. We have a celeb in our midst. All right, coming up, your choices for TD of the week. We had so many.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The San Francisco 49ers.
Kittle is inside of Ayuk, right? They motion McCaffrey. Backwards pass to McCaffrey. And he's going to throw downfield wide open. Brandon Ayuk! Touchdown! San Francisco! He can run!
Ayuk!
He can
catch! Ayuk getting on fire!
Christian McCaffrey can throw!
The Seattle Seahawks.
Geno going to throw again. On first down, pump fake. Going to throw deep. Got a man in the corner. It is Lockett. Touchdown, Seahawks. What a drive led by Geno Smith.
The Carolina Panthers.
Walker remains in the gun. Three-man rush. Takes the snap. Drops back. Rolls to his left. He's flushed. Loads up. Airs it deep downfield for DJ Moore. Behind his man. Moore makes the catch and caught the ball. DJ Moore caught the ball.
How did that happen?
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown, Carolina. This is amazing.
The Dallas Cowboys.
So it's 3rd and 16 at the Chicago 19. Fields in the gun. Back to throw. Parsons coming. He flushes out left. He stops. He dumps it short to the 25. Still moving Montgomery. Fumble the ball. Recovered by Dallas. Micah Parsons is on the ball.
And he's still alive.
He's still running. He's still moving with the ball. To the 10, to the 5, to the goal line. Parsons recovered a fumble and brought it all the way back.
And on that note, our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. That Micah Parsons touchdown that you hear with Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg on Cowboys Radio lit me up. As I'm watching it on Sunday, my immediate thought, that's a TD of the week candidate. That could win TD of the week. It was unbelievable. Not only does he come from where he is in the defensive set and after the ball is hiked to where the ball ends up, he runs through traffic to get to that point. He recovers the ball and then has the presence of mind to not only gather it, but get up and start running again, breaking tackles along the way as he's reversing direction toward the end zone. And I still cannot get over the fact that Justin Fields hurtled over him instead of touching him with a toe, with a finger. He didn't even breathe on him. He hurtled over him to avoid touching Micah Parsons. It's one of those, okay, somebody else has got him. Oh, well, somebody else will do it. Nah, nobody did it. Micah was able to get all the way into the end zone. It was smart. It was heads up. It was obviously physical and aggressive, and it was an amazing moment for the Cowboys in their big win and moving to 6-2. And I don't know, maybe 6-2 is not where he wants to be.
6-2 is okay. You know, I prefer 8-0. You know, that's just me. You know, I don't know who else agrees with that, but you know, it's cool. But, like, we just got to keep going, you know. It's so much football left.
I love that. I don't know who else agrees with me. Maybe nobody else agrees with me. He's so flippant about it. But, yes, huge win for the Cowboys over the Bears. Dak second game back. But the defense sets the tone. Our other TD of the week candidates, though, I maybe have shifted the voting here. Christian McCaffrey, who knew? He could throw for touchdowns as well. He has the TD trifecta first time since 2005 and LaDainian Tomlinson. Passes for that touchdown on Niners radio with Greg Papa and Tim Rice. Also catches one and rushes one in against the Los Angeles Rams. Tyler Lockett fumbles a ball, drops a sure touchdown pass, but in the fourth quarter against the Giants, he hauls in a touchdown and some redemption, and it was the go-ahead score against New York. Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio. And then finally, we know it wasn't a game winner, but man, it was a Hail Mary. PJ Walker to DJ Moore, 70 friggin' yards in the air, and it was amazing. So we couldn't eliminate it. We actually left out a couple, like Latavius Murray for the Broncos in the late stages and Taylor Heineke for the Commanders. So you can vote on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really quickly want to get to Jim Harbaugh and Mel Tucker. After this fracas broke out in the tunnel between the Spartans and the Wolverines, both coaches speaking on Monday.
What happened in the tunnel was egregious. Sickening to watch the videos. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be a full, thorough, timely investigation. I can't imagine that this will not result in criminal charges. The videos are bad. And it's clear what transpired. It seems very, very open and shut. You know, as they say, watch the tape. I'm coming from this from a perspective of being a parent, and these young men are entrusted to me by their families and to our program, and we have the responsibility to each player to treat them like our own. An apology will not get the job done in this instance. There should be serious consequences for the many individuals that are culpable. This has been a very traumatic experience for everybody, especially for Jaden and Jamon, and we will support them. We'll support them and their families in every possible way.
We're not here to make any excuses for the behaviors Saturday. They are unacceptable. We are deeply sorry. We're deeply sorry to both universities, the conference, our fans, alumni, supporters, and of course, all of our student athletes, past and present.
First, you hear Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach, and then Michigan State's Mel Tucker. And he'd already announced that multiple players had been suspended, effective immediately. Jim mentions Jamon Green, who was punched by a Spartan in the tunnel. And then he mentions Jaden, who was attacked when he tried to help. And apparently, both players have injuries, according to Coach Harbaugh. And it seems like Jaden will be allowed to play, but he mentions that Jamon, who's a starting cornerback, at this point is a question mark for Saturday night and their next game. And I think it's a stark comparison when you hear Mel Tucker say, "We are deeply sorry, we apologize." But what Jim Harbaugh said is an apology will not get the job done in this instance. And so an unfortunate situation. People have complained about why these players are using the same tunnels. I mean, it's just, it's the place that you play in. And maybe they shouldn't be going out through the tunnels at the same time. But this is not about all of a sudden having to redo your entire stadium configuration. This is not about building a stadium with two separate entrances and exits. No, it's about young men having respect and obviously losing control of their emotions and not treating their opponents in such a way that it's assault and battery. So we'll see what falls out from this, but both coaches still very emotional. It's supercharged. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.